Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, David R. Packer. David, how are you doing today?
All right, good. How about you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Anytime on a Friday, I can chat with somebody about something creative, whether it's books or fantasy or sci-fi, horror, or anything like that. To me, it's a really good day, and it's a great way to end the week. So I appreciate you
Oh,
coming
yeah.
out today and chit-chatting with us, and getting to know, you and your writing and, some of your products today. So thank you so much for coming on today.
No, it's my pleasure. It's a nice excuse for me to ignore the biting, freezing cold out here as well.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, my friend asked, he's like, why are you doing all these interviews before February? I'm like, I'm getting it done before the spring. So I was like, I want to just, be able to go outside with my son, play, and then, enjoy the weather and write. I'm like, that's like,
Exactly.
yeah, might as well do something fun during the winter. So I totally understand you there. That's really funny. Right there with you. Well, we'll start right there with that first question there, David. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Delayed, I
I
think what I'd say on that.
know that
I
feeling.
wrote, yeah, I mean, I always wanted, I always wanted to be a writer. And it was the thing, like a lot of writers, I started when I was a kid, even before I could. Before I could read, I was doing little sketches and telling stories to my aunt, who's only a few years older than me. So, and then as I learned to read and write, I started writing little stories in a notebook that my grandfather had put together for me out of scrap paper, and
Oh, that's
it was
cool.
really great and fun. And yet, being a very neurodivergent person, when I hit school, things went downhill pretty quick, right? You don't get the kind of feedback that works for other people, or the kind of feedback that works for other people didn't work for me, so. I started developing a whole lot of that lack of confidence in some ways, things like that. And the result of that was I spent up until my mid-30s thinking I was going to write. I had lots of great ideas for novels and things, and I would just sort of, start. I'd write a chapter, maybe. Maybe I'd get as far as a chapter and a half, and then it would go back in a shelf somewhere because it was all handwriting back then because there were no computers in the Stone Age. So. Entirely true. But I always, it was I was constantly, because I was writing and not finishing my writing, it became a feedback loop of negativity. Like, well, I'll never succeed as a writer. I'm not writing anything. This is terrible. And I was teaching myself to not be a writer. And then in my mid-30s, I took a novel writing class, and it was brutal. Like the novel writing class was, you went in there, it was 3 hours a session, and it was, I think, once, maybe twice a week for like 6 months. And I went in there thinking, cool, I'll learn all the interesting stuff and maybe I'll finally make it. And the teacher just walks up in the front of the class and says, got a pen, got a piece of paper, put your pen on the paper and get your hand moving. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. And the hand cannot stop moving. Just, what the fuck? So you just, you start to write, you start to fill in, and 20 minutes of writing. At the end of 20 minutes, she says, okay, so now I want you to pick one sentence you like. And now rip that page up, throw it out, put that sentence on top, and you got 20 more minutes. Tell me a story off that one sentence. And that was the pattern repeated for the entire class. It wasn't the teacher telling you stuff and you taking notes. It was you doing stuff and learning your own process and learning how to get stories out of yourself, learning how to, I think the most important thing was learning to not value your own writing, but to value your process. Like I found myself writing these amazing little short stories, and the teacher would come across and say, yeah, well, throw it out and start over again. Like it's okay, but this is brilliant. So rewrite it from the brilliant point of view. And after a while you stop really caring. You're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I wrote something amazing. I can do it again. Here we go. And that was useful. Weirdly enough, though, was when I finished that class, I couldn't write fiction for like maybe 5 years. It was like the strangest block settled onto me, and I was working through nonfiction stuff that was coming out, and I still had the writing skills, but still nothing was happening. And then I got into screenplays, and I wound up, once I started doing the screenplays, because they have that really rigid process, like, you don't start the screenplay until you've got to have your log line done, and then you've got to break it down. One page is 1 minute of screen time, and each minute of screen time is brutally dictated. You cannot deviate from it. And if you are deviating from it, you have to show that you have not deviated from it. It only looks like you've deviated from it to make, some kind of dramatic effect. And that was really good training. I wrote 9 screenplays.
Oh,
One of
wow.
them got into a pilot for a TV series that never got made. I learned what development hell was. That was special. But the process was fantastic. I learned the structure of stories inside and out. That was fantastic. And I learned to be really brutal about my own writing. That was also fantastic. And that was enough for me coming out of that. For to feel like, okay, maybe it's time to actually tackle a novel. And then, of course, getting into all that writing, I was making absolutely no money. So I was working as a security guard doing graveyard shifts. So I was working in a really horrible spot that had a lot of gang issues, which went super bad. So they pulled me off of that and dumped me on another site. And I spent the next 2 years on an 18-acre lot in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do. I just had to do one patrol an hour. So I wound up
Wow.
sitting down with my little netbook at the time. And my wife said, because she was working day shifts, I was working graveyard shifts, and we barely got a chance to see each other. So she said, "I want something from you every night. You need to write me something. When I get up in the morning, I want to open my computer and see a story from you." So I thought, yeah, okay, I could do that. So I would do my patrols and I'd come back and I'd write and I'd do another patrol and come back and write and do another patrol and come back and write. And I'd make sure she had at least some portion of the story every night. And that worked really well and coincided with NaNoWriMo, which I went, I'm going to do it. So I did. I wrote a novel, the first NaNoWriMo, and it was garbage. Like, I'm pretty sure I've deleted every copy of it. And it was right at the 50,000, where like it was 50,001 words, I think, or something like that. So. But immediately, December, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write a real novel now. And then I finished my first novel that way.
Oh, wow.
So then that was done. It took me a month to finish it. It was great. It was finished. And then it sat in the hard drive. Nothing else happened for a while. And I started playing around with writing, and I started, life happens the way it does. Moved around, did a few other things. I've written a novel, but who cares? And it just sits on a hard drive somewhere. But I was still writing. I was still hitting a bunch of screenplays, still doing a bunch of stuff, and it was going nowhere, and nothing was all that great. And I had a really good idea for a second novel. And then I've known Dow for quite some time. And I don't know whether he finally got tired of hearing me talk about it, or he had an opportunity, and I seemed to be the right person at the time. And he said, "Hey, dude, you've got unwritten novel, right?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, "Well, I have an editing spot available and I'm not going to use it for my current books. So if you've got something that's done, I'll give it to my editor and they'll have a properly edited book, professionally edited." I was like, "That's fantastic. Have I got time? Because I don't think my book's ready for an editor yet." He's like, "You have a month." So I took a month and I dove into Animus War, got my wife to reread it. I had to add an extra 30,000 words to it in that time. So I was just hammering away, got it done, went out to the editor, came back from the editor with quite some fantastic feedback it made me feel better about myself as a writer. Like, it was like solid feedback, like, "You need to change this, that, this, and then everything else." It's like, okay, I'm gonna do that. But it was enough to get me going. So I got that, got it edited, got it back, did the rewrites on it, sent it out for the final proof. And then I went out and just, got a little bit of advice from Dow, which is basically just keep writing and don't worry about the advertising for now. And I was like, this is fantastic. Hit publish, put that sucker up there, and didn't tell anybody. I just wanted to see what happened. And yeah, I started to get a few good reviews. I ordered myself some copies so I could give one to my mom and I could have some on the bookshelf behind me. And that was fantastic. And I felt good about that. And then I started writing another novel right away. And then Dow had a little, had actually just about finished the next novel that I was working on. And Dow put up a little note saying he was looking for short story writers for System Apocalypse. And I thought, oh, I can do that, because I wasn't really into lit RPG at the time. I was a sort of science fiction writer. I like hard sci-fi. Was going into epic fantasy. It was the last thing I'd written. And I decided that I had read some of it, so I wanted to know what he was writing. So I started reading the lit RPG, and I thought, this is kind of fun. And I can see how popular it is, and I can see why, because it does the same thing a lot of screenplays do, which is it's hitting all the beats. And they're building expectation up on them. And it does it a lot of the way that makes gaming successful too, in that, like, you just keep leveling up. And there's a certain appeal to that that doesn't show up in standard fiction. Standard fiction has that you get a little thing, there's a problem, and then you get better, and then there's another problem, and then you succeed and you solve the problem, and that's like the first two chapters of a little RPG. They just keep going from there. And that little constant reward and tension, that ongoing tension of building up, I thought that's really great. I didn't think I could write that. And it was like, I can't do that rising tension thing. That's not in my skill set. And it's not how my emotional journey of writing goes. But I love the setting. This went down. I thought, I really like the setting. I think I'm going to take his setting, his system Apocalypse, and I'm going to write a classic sword and sorcery fantasy.
Oh, that's
Done
cool.
like a regular fantasy, but using a lit RPG setting. Yeah, I thought that'd be really cool. And so I wrote a
That's
short
awesome.
story. I wrote a, I don't know, it was 5,000, 6,000 words. I wrote in an afternoon. It was
Oh,
amazing. I
wow.
really loved it. So Dow, published that. And then shortly after was like, hey, that was a good short. Do you think you could write a novel? And I just immediately, not even thinking about it, I went, I will write a trilogy and I'll deliver it in 6 months written. And then we can edit it from there. And it's coming out of my mouth, and I'm like, can't believe I just said that. But what helped me is I just got laid off from my last job. It was part of a tech company did a big round of layoffs. So they laid off 100 people in my area, and I was one of those 100. It was really nice. But I had decided at that point I was going to be a full-time author. This was my
Oh, that's cool.
chance. So I talked to my wife about it, and she said, give it a shot. We can survive off one income for a couple of years, so let's do it. So I'm not going to get another chance. So I told Ali, get that done. I gave myself a really hard deadline for that, which I did not make, by the way, but I tried real hard. And so he accepted the proposal for the trilogy, and I sat down and hammered through that and wrote it out, and it was incredible. It was really fun. So that And once I got that done, the whole time I'm writing that trilogy, I'm like, I got to get back to my previous writing. So now I'm sitting at what I think I've got the three books, the System Apocalypse trilogy out, my first novel, Anubis War, done, and I have three other novels that have finished their first draft, and another one on the way that'll probably be done in a few months. So that's my writing journey to this point.
Well, that's awesome. I'm just laughing because my friend Herman's like gonna laugh when I say this, but I definitely know that feeling. Those I call them the trunk novels.
Oh yeah.
He's always teasing me. He's like, you got this. My friend was just teasing me on New Year's Eve. He's like, he goes, we were talking about full-time authors. He goes, if you didn't have two jobs, he's like, you're pretty quick. He's like, you'd be able to easily do like six a year. And I'm like, but I started calculating, I'm like, yeah, probably, and we always talk about like Lindsay Baroker, because I think it's crazy that she's like 12, 13 on average for a year, like one of the fastest writers. Like people think Brandon's fast, I'm like, Lindsay's really fast. But yeah, it's just like I was telling him, I was like, yeah, I guess. And he goes, yeah, you wrote a lot the last couple of years. I was like, yeah, that's fair. So I think it's always funny when you're counting those up, I'm like, dang, that's a lot of work. Because like a lot of people, they don't think that's a
It's
lot of work,
done.
but it is. It's a lot of
It
work, but
really is.
it's crazy. And I always talk to indie authors. They're like, I only have three things coming out this year. I'm like, dude, I'm like, that's like 5 years sometimes for traditionally published authors, So I think that's a lot of product right there. So yeah, that's awesome.
And everyone has their own writing pace, and you have to respect that. And if you don't fit your writing pace, your work comes out like crap. Like it's speed of output has nothing to do with it. I've had days where I do 200 words, and I'll go for a couple of months. That's all I can turn out. And if I'm only hitting 200 words, that tends to be shit. Like it's a lot of written and it's garbage. But if I'm hitting 2,000, 3,000 words, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm writing, that writing is always really good. And that's it. It's not a it's slowing down doesn't make a better writer, and going faster doesn't make a worse writer. It's finding your own output. What gets your brain into that writing zone? It's different for everybody. Some days I
Well,
need
and I
8 hours.
But I like how you mentioned that, because I did want to go back to that in terms of, what you were saying earlier, like in terms of the class you took and stuff. And, that's what we're I'm trying to tell kids all the time, we have like certain things we do as like check-ins, showing them skills and stuff. But then we're like, I always look at kids, I'm like, I don't care how you give it to me, like I teach social studies. So I'm like, okay, I'm like, these are things you learned, these are things we're the activities we're doing, but then like the next three classes, it's like, okay, give me a product from it. Like, and some kids are like, well, what do I need? We're like, we'll give you the basis, but like, I have kids that do presentations. Some kids like to write. Some kids, they like to do an art thing. I'm like, I don't care. As long as you're showing me, these three things that you learned, and in the manner in which you want, I'm like, I don't care the vehicle. And I was talking to my friend this summer, and that's like, he's like, he's laughing at me. He's like, you're just trying to prepare creatives. I'm like, but yeah, I'm like, it's a useful skill, right? Because I was like, it's the same thing, right? You come with these ideas. I go, if a kid wants to be a sculptor, they should be able to come with the ideas and, do the process, or if they want to write, I'm like, what do I care if a kid wants? I used to do videos with my friends, like as the AV club. And it was like back in the AV club was like, now it's like that was like, it was becoming extinct because of DVDs at the time. And like the internet, like I was in that switch. So I was just telling kids yesterday, I was like, it was so funny. I go, if it were me and I had Adobe Express or Canva, like I did a couple book trailers for myself. That'll come out soon. I'm like, I love that stuff. So I was like, I would be doing movie trailer stuff on, and I'm like, I had, we had those stupid video cameras and two VCRs, and we were doing all sorts of stuff. So
Beautiful.
I'm like, yeah.
Beautiful.
So, but I think it's funny, but I do agree with you. It's like, I try to tell them, like, just pick what you like to do, and, we'll help you with the skill. So I totally agree with it. I think it, people ask me, like, why do you do this? How do you do this? And I think I'm going to start doing like a, like some journal videos and just be like, like this is my process, because I don't, we always talk, right? Like little things, but I think it's different to see that concrete. But I agree with you. I think it's when you were telling me that, I was like, oh, that's a cool class. And I'm like, that would work
That was
for me, I
awesome.
think, at different times. Yeah. I think that's really smart. So I'm
It's
really jealous
push-ups
about
for
that
writing.
experience. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. More like up downs, right?
A
So
little bit.
really extreme. But yeah, I think that that's really cool. I'm really jealous of that experience that you had,
Oh, it's
but that's
fantastic.
awesome. That's really cool. Story sounds great, by the way. What genres do you currently write in, and why? You talked a little bit about, a little bit, but just in terms, can you lay it out for our audience in terms of the genres that you write in? But particularly, I always like to know why.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I mean, I think the real answer for what genre I write in is I don't know.
I like that
And
answer.
genre is one of those really important things because it's not so much what you're writing as much as where you're going to find your readers. And it's
Totally.
important that you are honest with your readers when it comes to reading, because nothing sucks more than picking up a book and you're like, oh, look at this grim dark. I'm going to dive into this. It's going to be awesome and fantastic. I'm just going to, yeah. Got the right music crank and everything you pick up, and it's
Yeah.
actually it's a romanticy. You're like, I mean, the writing's good, but it's not by me, and that's a terrible thing to do to a reader.
Yeah.
Advertise one thing and deliver something else. I've been reading a lot of I'm going to seg you off here because I just do that. You'll have to do, I'm sorry. I do a lot of reading for awards, so like
Oh,
I'm an
cool.
SFWA writer reader and
Oh,
member,
cool.
and there's a few other awards, so I wind up getting like 20 or 30 books at a time that I've got to read through and give a quick opinion on. I'm just doing the pre-reading, not the judging, which means I have to read books that I really don't like. Like, there's a lot of genres and subgenres that just annoy me, and a lot of styles of writing that annoy me. Doesn't mean they're bad, I just don't like them. So going through that
Yeah.
whole experience has really taught me that you need to express your genre accurately to a reader. That's part of your communication with them to make sure they're picking up a book they're really going to like and not one that they're not
Yeah.
going to like. And that's terrible for me because as a genre, I'm like, my first book was hard sci-fi because I really like to get into the numbers sometimes. I like to sit there and calculate, orbital geometries and power and all that kind of stuff. Like, what size of projectile hits at what speed on a ship and causes what kind of damage, and then what kind of radiation output from that. Figuring all that stuff is fun, and then you don't put any of it into the book. You just sort of describe the effects, and that's, I also enjoy that. But when I read hard sci-fi, I'm like, wow, well, these people have got their PhDs in physics and chem, and they're doing stuff that I can't even touch, and it's too intimidating. Like, I like reading it, but I don't feel like I can write that. Same with
Yeah.
military sci-fi too, which is like my constant reading. I like to write that, but I don't have any military experience. Most of my friends do have a lot, and I get a lot of nights drinking and hearing stories and helping them get through shit, and plus all the other work I do. But there's a certain, like, I don't want to write that because that's not
It's
who I
not
am,
easy. I'm doing it right now. It
right?
sucks.
Yeah,
It's
well,
fun. I'm doing, it's
there's
hard.
something I heard from someone was like, you don't have to write it accurate. You have to write it accurate to expectations. So like a lot of military sci-fi readers don't have the real life experience. They want to feel like they're getting from the book. So you have to write to what they want to feel, which doesn't have to be accurate, just has to feel accurate. That struck me as pretty good. It's good advice. So I do fit a lot of that into my writing because it's what I like to read. But genre-wise, I went from hard sci-fi. The screenplay that I wound up writing for the TV pilot thing was a supervillain story.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
I'm going from hard sci-fi to superhero stuff. And then when I'm writing on my own, I'm tending to write more along the lines of epic fantasy. And then somehow I figured out that I actually like to write something that goes beyond all of that. So, for example, we'll talk about it later, but my upcoming work is the one I'm writing, my work in process right now is a cyberpunk, which is a prequel to the epic fantasy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right, which is actually coming from a hard science fiction background, which will never wind up in the stories at all. And that's fun. So I've got this epic fantasy and cyberpunk all tied together, and I'm kind of loving that. And I'm starting to fit in a bunch of other stuff as I go. So I don't know what genre I'm currently writing. Like the cyberpunk one has a lot of psionic abilities, like superpower kind of
Oh,
stuff like
awesome.
that. It's really exciting to me. And it all comes from other books I read, which also cross genres a little bit. But how do you describe psionic cyberpunk? There's no genre for that. And throwing in psionics into straight cyberpunk isn't really what a cyberpunk reader expects. So they're kind of, they're maybe going to bounce off of that. And then I don't know. So
I get
it's a
it.
bit
No,
of a
I get
struggle.
it. It's hard. Like I say military fantasy. One of my alpha readers, Logan D. Irons, I have an urban fantasy, but it's like I'm like I asked him, I was like, is this like I but I have a marine. Like my Monster Hunter started off as a marine. It's a prequel trilogy. And like said novellas, and I'm like, or is it military fantasy? And he's like, well, if we're gonna go military fantasy, he's like, we gotta really make sure. Like some novella one's hard for me because I have to write it from like in the perspective of a Marine. So I have J.R. Wise, who's military sci-fi, helping me out once I'm
Nice.
done, with those. Yeah, super cool guy. I interviewed him. He's awesome. Loved his book, Terra Ascending. Can't wait for some of his other
Sweet.
ones. But it's like I agree with you. It's hard, right? Because I'm like, well, I want to just say urban fantasy, but I said, and my friend's like, well, Logan's like, well, is there going to be a lot, involving the military side? I said, not suit like I'm like he's a Marine. I'm like, how do you, once Marine, always Marine, right?
What's
So
a
it's like,
lot?
seriously. So I was like, literally, that's like, I was like, but it's hard, right? So we literally were like, no, it's gonna be urban fantasy, and maybe some military fantasy, readers come in, because I like that stuff too, but it's still gonna be like urban fantasy. But it was hard, right, to kind of decide and to try and center in. I'm one of those people where I've like love Richelieu Byars, like the Forgotten Realms books that he did. Like every time, right? He does fantasy, but he does horror in there too. Every time. He's one of the best I've
I like
seen.
that.
So yeah, right. I love the blending. I like that's why I like indie so much. And I think a lot more traditional authors for fantasy and and sci-fi, they're like the same thing, right? You're like I think they're still, constrained a bit too much by boxes, but Black Tongue Thief was amazing because I think it didn't necessarily fit in one fantasy genre. The Silver Blood Promise by James Logan is another one. And I think I interviewed Justin Lee Anderson too. And we talked about like The Lost War, and it was like it's a little bit of a mystery, it's fantasy, but it's just I love that stuff because it just makes a good
Love that too.
story. It's like a pizza.
It's one of those things where genre can really restrict you from finding good writers.
Exactly.
One thing I'd really hope for, and I think that's a legacy of traditional publishing and bookstores in general. Like I used to work in bookstores, and there's a category. There's a science fiction and fantasy category. You don't have subcategories in there. Some stores will have science fiction and fantasy, but it's only an indie bookstore that's going to break those categories down. The bigger the bookstore, the less division there is. And if you don't fit into that, you're not going to make the sales, which means you're not going to sell your story in the first place to attract pub because they don't have a market for it. But with the rise of indie publishing, and more importantly, I think the rise of indie readers, there's that opportunity for people to identify more with writers and what they produce through their craft outside of genre. If you read a writer like Amira Grant's a good example, and Shauna McGuire,
Oh
You
yeah.
know, because it comes across, you're like, you pick up the first one, it's like it's urban fantasy. Then you read the zombie book, and you're like, this zombie
Yeah.
book has some really good science in it here. Like, this is, you know, it's enough for you to kind of not roll your eyes at the zombies and kind of go, that's actually plausible enough that I'm gonna forget that it's a, you know, I'm gonna just assume it's, I'm gonna go forward. There's no question in my head. I can embrace the story and dive into it. And that's really cool. So, now I'm into reading, and again, urban fantasy written in the way Shauna Maguire does isn't really my thing, but the writing is really my thing. Like, I'll pick up their book in a heartbeat because I know they're a great writer and I will enjoy the story. I wouldn't pick one up otherwise. Well, my bookshelf lies about that right from Charles Doing, though. So, you know, we'll just, I lie. But following the writer has become important. Not
Yeah,
so
I
much
agree.
the social media landscape around the internet, that kind of stuff,
Yeah.
because I don't get into that too much. But once you've understood that they have a writing style and an approach, you care less about genre. So there's not a great way for indie writers to express themselves around genres. All the tools we have right now are dictated by social media and engagement, which is driven by sticking things in the smallest category possible for better aim. There's a phrase I can't think of that now. You're too
All
much
the
coffee.
algorithm. Yeah, it's
Right,
all
thank you.
about the
That's
algorithm.
it.
Yeah, all
Yeah,
about the algorithm. Yep. What's that Clayton
exactly.
Snyder, like from Clayton, like Cold West was one of the best books I've ever read. And I keep telling people about it. I'm like, please, please, everybody, I need a second one. I wish I'd get rich. I told him, I was like, I'm gonna be like an old school patron, you know, like Renaissance, and just give him like
God, I'd love to do that.
$50 to give me a book. I know, right? And but I mean, it's like, but you know, it's like it's hard. It's gotten better. You know, it's gotten more into the spotlight for him the last 2 years, but when I first read it was like before the pandemic, and I loved it. It was one of the best books I ever read. But it's like, how do I explain it to you?
It's
It's
all about listening.
partly a Western sci-fi with urban fantasy tropes. It's like it, you know, it's all over, but it's like it was amazing,
Yeah,
you
and
know,
by now, then this
conglomeration.
interview's over. Sounds like
Yeah,
my
oh my
kind of
God.
thing.
It was so good. It was so good. It was so good. And the
Give me
main
that
character was
cross
so
genre.
great. Yeah. Oh man, it was one of the best cross-genre books I've ever read. But like he's got every one of, I would say like most of the books I've read of Clayton's, like River of Thieves, was like a great blend of subgenres in terms of fantasy. And but he, you know, I'll read anything that Clayton writes. Like if he writes with Michael R. Fletcher, same thing with Mike. Mike writes alone, writes with Anna Stevens, like with In the Shadow of Their Dying. Oh my God, what a novella. And you know, it's like I agree with that. I keep telling people, like, well, what do you like to read? I'm like, I like to read, you know, these authors. And they're like, oh, well, what do they write? I'm like, they write this, you know, these are these, you know, cross genre and these blending things. So I totally agree. I think it's fun. I've been doing that since I met indie authors. I first met indie
Yeah.
authors down in Arizona, met them the same time I met Kevin Hearn, same show, Brandon Sanderson, Patrick before he became famous. Pierce Brown, first book. He looked so shocked to be there. Like he blew up like 3 weeks later with Red Rising. Like it was absolutely crazy.
Excellent.
I met Michael J. Sullivan that day, but like oh, Brian McKellen, like it was just nuts. Like some of the like advice they gave me about indie publishing was just like was wild. Like that actually started my indie journey, which I got soft start, I guess, because I got to publish this year still. But I've been writing all about it, and you know, because of what they said. But a lot of it is they called this, like they said, it's gonna change this way, and I think it's absolutely crazy that they were totally right, which is I think pretty cool. But yeah, I
Oh,
totally agree with you. That's really interesting. Well, I definitely want to get in and talking about the Anubis War in particular.
Oh,
Is one of
yeah.
the ones that caught my eye. So what is your book, The Anubis War, about, and how'd you come up with this idea?
Oh, that was a fun one. Again, I don't know what it's about. What it's about. It's actually, I teach historical martial arts, which is to
Yeah,
say,
awesome. That's
sword
my
fighting.
thing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I've been
that's
doing
awesome.
that for 30 years now.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, I've been around. I used to have a quite a reputation for that back in the old days. But I was smaller back then. I had the little conceit of wanting to fit in sword fighting, but I was writing hard sci-fi, and I'm like, gosh, how can I do that? So yeah, I found a solution for it in Animus War. That was fun. But the bulk of the story, the reason it came about was the first short story I ever wrote. My first wife was a linguist. And I got into, as a side of that, we got into conlang, the whole developing constructed languages. So making
Oh,
up
that's
languages,
awesome.
things like one of the
Yeah.
things we did was create a vampire language based off like how would people talk if they had these, big
Yeah, that's
canines coming out?
cool.
How does that affect the shape of your mouth? And if you live, thousands and thousands of years, how does that adjust and change your accent, your word choice, what kind of language alteration goes through for time? So we wound up writing a vampire language that was really, really cool. And as I was doing that, I started to think about, gosh, wouldn't it be fun to write a science fiction short story that features someone learning about cool languages? So I wrote this really interesting little short story. That was the first short I ever submitted. I sent it off to like Analog or Fantasy Science Fiction, probably both of them, and whatever the hell else was out at the time. It was roundly rejected for good reasons. It was a terrible short. But the really fun part about that is I had the idea of aliens that were basically like little cats in powered armor.
Oh, that's awesome.
With like, weird little mantis claws and stuff. And that was fun. And those stupid aliens stuck in my head forever. And I started to come up with a reason why they existed. I started to imagine that how would there be these aliens out there and why haven't we seen them? And I started to think about this whole like, perhaps we're stuck in this cluster of the galaxy where everything's been wiped out. Like the reason is we haven't seen any aliens because they all killed themselves off a whole long time ago. So we're kind of in a graveyard. And then, 1,000 years or 2,000 years or whatever, we start to learn how to do faster than light travel. And the aliens are freaking out a little bit because, basically these we've come out of the graveyard, this whole new race of people. Like, what the oh, creepy. And that got me started to think about what would happen to a human civilization as it expands out at great speed and then runs across a galaxy that's heavily populated with a really developed civilization. And a civilization that is more than capable of wiping out other civilizations with faster than light weapons. The kind of weapons where you can't tell they're coming, you're just gone instantly.
Yeah.
And I started to play around with that idea, and I came up with the idea of, because, setting's great, but setting is the story. Trying to find the story out of that took a little bit. And I came across the idea of someone whose job as a soldier was to drop down on a world that had been part of the original human outgrowth, but then it separated off and wasn't really mainline humanity anymore. So his job was to go on these 4-year-long missions with a couple of 100,000 other soldiers and gigantic spaceships and reconquer human worlds and bring them back into this larger central government they have now that has a dictated technological advancement system. So it's very stagnant, but forcibly so. And he had done this a few times and had retired to become a fencing instructor. I fit that in. That's cool. And then a buddy comes up and says, "Hey, we're going on one last mission. I know you're retired, but I'd like you to come back for this one because it is the last human world that has been unconquered. And it's not unconquered because they're really cool. It's unconquered because they're on the very edge of the alien civilization. Come on for this last little bit of fun." And that was the root of the story. And I had this whole concept of running into the aliens, humans needing to adjust to a much larger universe around them. And what it would be like to truly find yourself in an absolutely alien environment, like truly alien, like you, where you're not able to comprehend what's going on. And there's no science to explain it because the science is already millions of years ahead of where you were. So that pushed the idea of Vasco and his going out in what's otherwise a fairly straightforward military sci-fi adventure. Like I literally cribbed a bunch of notes from the Russian invasion of Afghanistan and a lot of the engagements there. So I'm like, okay, here's a little fight. I'm going to rewrite this fight into this book and some stuff from the Boer War. That
Oh,
was
that's cool.
great fun. I really enjoyed that. But the whole time is the main character questioning what's going on and why, and then which leads to the fun ending where he discovers that humans aren't quite things they think they are, and things will grow from there. So that was, I don't know what that's about. I guess it's hard sci-fis because that's the, I think the genre where people would fit in a little bit better. I've also put it through as military sci-fi, and hopefully it's close enough to both. The readers so far really like it, the couple of handfuls of them. So
We don't like that story. You probably shouldn't be reading sci-fi is my thing. Because that sounds really awesome.
it's fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. Sold, by the way.
I thought
I already have too many books on my TBI for the year, but I guess I'll add another one, David. That's
I'll
totally fine.
warn you that the second book is done and it's in the hands of an editor, but
Oh, I'm
you'll
at
want to
like
know that it
60 books right
exists.
now. Well, it's so funny because my friend the other day said that, right? And he goes, oh, remember when we interviewed like 3 years ago? I'm like, oh my God. He goes, like, my kid's about to be two tomorrow. He's like, yeah, that was 3 years ago. I go, for me, it felt like it was like yesterday. He goes, yeah,
Oh, yeah.
I got book two coming out now. And I was like, I didn't even notice. It's just like, I just discovered another author the other day. I've already read like out of their six books in their co-authored series, the superhero one. I've absolutely love how they do it. And it's like a little bit of young adult humor. And I'm like blowing through them, but I'm like, oh, maybe I can get 60 books done this year. I'm almost done with like three. And
Right,
it's
books
like,
can go fast.
I love them. So I think that's awesome. But yeah, I always find that funny because someone asked me recently, privately, they're like, do you wait till a series is done? I'm like, hell no. I'm like, there's so much I want to read. I'm like, I just read authors. I just go and then I'm like, oh, you know, I really like David's stuff. I'm going to go back to David's now and, you know, kind of go from there. Audiobooks have helped me out because I'll do half audio and half Kindle, and that's definitely helped me to get through. But yeah, I just thought it was so funny. My wife, she's like, you're too much of a book junkie. She's like, you're gonna go and read
Is that
stuff.
a
I'm
bad
like, I
thing?
just love it. I love discovering a new universe, man. Like when I discovered Kevin Hearn's Iron Druid Chronicles, like I absolutely loved it. You know, and I love that. And then now my friend's books, like, you know, to discover their superhero universe is like definitely my kind of thing. You know, it stinks that there's not 12 of them, but I'm like, oh, it's fine. I'll go find, you know, somebody new. Or I'll read your book, you know, and I'll have plenty on my mind and my plate. So my wife, she's like, if you could be a professional like reader, she's like, I bet you would just, I was like, I would love that to read and write all day and get paid for both. I'm like, if anybody out there wants to pay me to read, like, you know, I would totally do that. But that sounds absolutely awesome. I'm definitely have to add that to my TBR. I added to my next TBR. So I have like a one set for the year. But I've tried to do a video and I'm like, oh, my wife's like, you're gonna have to do like three videos on your TBR to like break it down. But I have like a couple of books, you know, in the hallway, so to speak, right? That like if I really want to, you know. So my friend was teasing yesterday, maybe you'll get past it and then, you know, get those extra eight books. So I have to add nine on there, but that's
Add
okay.
12 more.
That just sounds awesome. Totally sounds like my thing. So I'm like really, really
It was
excited
fun. I
to get
really love
that one.
writing it.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, I definitely want to make sure you know that we talk about your co-author book, you know, with Dao Wang's System Apocalypse. In terms of System Apocalypse, Kismet, can you just tell us a little bit about that one, and then maybe like how you guys came to write together?
I think we covered the writing together a little bit earlier, with
A little
him.
bit, yeah. Just in case somebody came in a little late, though.
Basically, Dalf, what the hell, he forced me to become a writer. It's his fault. It's all his fault.
Twisted your arm.
Twist some arm, totally. And then had that opportunity to write the short story for the anthology. And from the short story, went and proposed a trilogy and then went ahead and wrote it. Which is still kind of looking back on it, going, I wrote a trilogy in a year? What the hell?
That's crazy.
How? What is this possible? That's, and they're on the bookshelf of the local library. Wow, that's amazing. I mean,
That's awesome.
there's nothing like walking in the library and seeing your books on the shelf. That's like instant tears and just like, oh,
That's amazing.
fantastic. And people occasionally read them locally. It's really weird. So yeah, the series of books is it's a lit RPG, based in Dao's System Apocalypse series, which I fell in love with the setting, like the whole. The way it's an apocalypse is really the focus for a lot of it. And for a lot of lit RPG, it's like, oh, system comes in, horrible things happen, everybody dies, except for the few, and then we move forward into the new stuff. And I looked at it a little bit different. Like I'm reading it. And the whole time, like when you're reading a book, you kind of insert yourself into the book a little bit. Like, you're traveling with the heroes, and what would you do? And then, sometimes it aligns, often it doesn't. But as I'm reading the System Apocalypse books, I'm like, yeah, this is grim, and then the main character is very angry, and I get that, and I understand the trauma. And I'm also thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool to be able to just, like, choose what kind of powers you have? That would be so sweet. And like, the basic premise that everyone has this the upgrades, like you just get really strong, and everyone gets really strong. I'm like, that right there is awesome. I mean, I want to get into what happens to someone who's who's already been like their life was an apocalypse before the system arrived. So I started out with someone who'd been homeless, had a lot of mental health issues, and this was based on folks I know and a little bit of myself as well. And it was like, what would happen if they're already on the outskirts? And then this apocalypse arrives and does this little scouring, rebuilding thing. But in this case, it puts him more in line with everyone else. So a lot of the mental health issues don't go away, but they become not an issue anymore. Like they fit into the way things are a bit
Oh,
better.
interesting.
And from that, now he's a person that's understood how to build community from the dregs, from the outskirts, from the cast aside. And he's been part of communities of form. So having the world fall apart is, oh, now everyone's at the same place as me. I can help everyone a little bit and finds other people that help him to build community. So the focus for me is not so much about in these books is about how terrible and bad things are, which is fun. I do like it. I enjoy disasters movies a lot. But how to build community in hard times and what kind of people are involved in building community, and someone who just has a lot of fun having adventures now that they've got a chance. And the two heroes of the books, Fool and Jackal, are just, they're maniacs. They were both outcasts, and now they get to be the heroes they always wanted to be. Like physically, in Jackal's
That's
case,
awesome.
Jackal's transformed into a stereotypical movie hero. And is just pushing that every moment all the way through. And I just loved writing them. Like, I don't really care about the story so much as it was an excuse to just put these two in situations and see how they felt and how they reacted and how they came through it. And it was just, oh, I loved it so much. It was really hard to wrap up the trilogy, just kind of go, oh, I have to finish it. There's still a ton of story in the back of my head, and who knows what'll come in the future, but I got it completed, and it was the story of two people that really cared about each other and really cared about the world and making things better and found a way to kind of bring a little bit of joy into a just terrible stuff otherwise, and had massive over-the-top adventures while doing it. So I really love that trilogy.
This
I
is
may read it
awesome.
at some point.
Well, I just wanted to bring it up again just because I do find it so interesting. So Jason J. Willis, him and I had an interview too, and Dama interview is coming up too, after your guys's are published. So, but I just think it's so cool to for people to see, and I really recommend anybody listening or watching to really watch all three interviews because it's just so interesting to see. And I think it's so cool because I guess like I love the Forgotten Realms, I love Dragonlance, I love how different authors, right, got to do different takes in the world. You get so many different voices, and you guys each have so many unique approaches in this same, universe, using the system Apocalypse, setting and rules and things. But it's like it's so interesting how, that's such a different story than, down Jason's, and it's so cool. Like they're both really great ideas. And I just loved hearing about it because I was like, oh, when first like Starlight goes, hey, do you want to interview these guys? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And my friends had talked about System Apocalypse. What was funny is like it's serendipitous, right? It was like the 3 weeks before, that's all I heard. So I just thought it was so funny because I had you. I didn't have Jason yet, but I had you and Dow on my list to approach. So it was so funny. And then when they asked me Jason, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that sounds awesome. So it's just so funny that it was like almost like right after I heard about System Apocalypse, then you guys started popping up on my feed. I think Facebook was listening to me or Amazon, but it's cool. I think
Probably.
it's like different approach, right? Yeah, but it's really cool, because some people are like so, and I think that speaks to your guys's teamwork and collaboration where you can do something cool and unique in this setting in the world. And I don't know, it was just so cool, and it's different than how other people have approached, I think, world building, with other co-authors in the past. And I liked that you guys had, more freedom to, try and, get us into, your stories and the world at different spots and in different ways. I just think that was absolutely that really makes me want to read the books, that you guys all write, within this system and in this world. Like it really made it more open.
Dow gave us the most amazing playground. Like the System Apocalypse setting is rich. He's really got to make an RPG book series out of that, or a video game, or a TV show. I don't care, whatever. It's just a rich, rich environment
I
for
told
mining
him,
stories out of.
man. Yep. I told him, I was like, I am a gamer. I'm a board gamer. I'm like,
Yep. So is
if
he.
you made a system, yeah, I'm like, I would, yeah, right. I was like, I would totally. I go, if you did a video game, I'd play. I go, but if you did, like a 5e style or a homebrew thing, I'm like, I would back that Kickstarter in a heartbeat, and I would
Me
run that
too.
system in a heartbeat. I think it'd be absolutely awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So yeah, it'd
Know,
be
if I
really
just
cool.
do it, maybe that would force him to fall in
That's
love.
fair. That's fair.
I'll put that on my to-do
All the
list.
things.
Yep.
I'm sure you'd really have to then return the favor and twist his arm, to do that. But I think it'd be amazing. I know a lot of people that would be down as well, just because I know, how they are as gamers. Like, I know if I was like, hey, check this out, by these authors, like I just know they'd absolutely be down. A lot of them got me into the RPG, and I mean, I know for a fact that would be something that a lot of, the community would be interested in. I've talked to a lot of people where, they really want more of, that style, in terms of, the games and stuff. So when I went to PAX recently, in Philly, like those were very similar to System Apocalypse. I was looking for those kind of systems actually, and I didn't see as many as I would have thought I would have seen at PAX. So I
It's
thought it
a
was kind of
future
interesting.
market.
Yeah, right.
Ah, I'll
Yeah.
just put that down. I'll just make that one of my projects for 2025. I think I can, I've been meaning to. My next project, the Salish Rift one, was also started as an RPG idea, so might as well just
That's
dive
awesome.
into that, I guess.
Yeah,
Get that
yeah.
written
Oh,
up.
that's awesome. That's super cool. So in terms of just real quick, I know we got a few more questions. We're wrapping up on time, but yeah, so since you just mentioned Salish Rift, I definitely want to talk about that one. Make sure you get it in here. So that one sounded really, really cool in terms of the series. So I'm curious that, what is Salish Rift about, and how did that series idea come about? Because it sounds awesome. So
Oh, this is a fun one. This ties together everything I've ever done. It should be the centerpiece of a large trilogy. Like one of the first screenplays I wrote was set in about 10,000 years in the future. And Salish Rift is about 2,000, 3,000 years in the future, and the cyberpunk is 50 years in the future.
cool.
Big disaster happens, wipes out the world. It's psionic powers show up and trash everything. Imagine like The Boys, but it gets super bad. So they basically change the entire earth around. But the superpowers, I have my own little conceit about how they came up, and it continues on. So what we wind up with in Salish Rift, which is the only one of the only habitable places left on the earth, is this gigantic volcanic valley set between Vancouver Island and the Vancouver mainland, because I thought that would be fun to just empty an ocean out and make it a new valley, because I loved looking over it when I was living there.
Awesome.
But in this future, the what makes superpowers, they've just classified as magic, and there's a somewhat of a genetic basis for it. So what we have is we have the south part of the Salish Rift, which is Bellingham basically, and Pender up on the north. Pender is where people have really embraced the psionic powers, and they're seen as mages. So their entire civilization is built around psionics and sword fighting, because it's just fun and they have to fit that into everything. And the southern part is rebuilding themselves from what was left of the American ideal, mixed with some Roman ideals. So they're a very, but in a, with a particular slant, they're very libertarian, very technology to a limit. So they still have firearms, much the same way we would today. And they've rebuilt that technology up from scratch. No one wants to go and recreate the old world in the way it was. So there's a lot of taboo around that kind of stuff. So we're not going to see radios or computers or things like that. But guns, yes. So this sets up this lovely world where we have a conflict coming up between these two cultures, where we have the what you could see as a semi-modern military, maybe late Renaissance pike squares with sniper rifles and things like that, versus mages. So that's the fun little bit. And to make this an interesting story, the first book is Jayla Senecas, who goes from the southern one, and she wants to learn swordplay, which makes her a bit of an outcast in her hometown, because why would you want to go learn that those horrible, corrupt people that use magic? We don't want anything to do with them. And she's like, whatever, I'll come back and do my thing when I'm done. So she takes a journey across the rift to go and study with a fencing master in Pender. And the first story is her journey across as she goes to the different cultures within the rift and arrives eventually in Pender to start taking her fencing lessons. She wants to be a fencing master. So she's got a long, tough journey ahead of her. And she starts out being a very, she's a rich kid and she thinks she knows everything. And she's quite good as a fencer amongst people that don't fence very often. And as she goes across the rift, she gets into a lot of conflict and learns what happens when you really engage in violence, when people really get hurt. So I've had a fair bit of experience with that, so I was able to delve into a fair bit of how a person changes as they go from, yeah, martial arts is cool to, oh, I just broke somebody's arm and I don't feel good about that. Oh no. All the way up to losing people and having people die and having to cope with that, and then killing someone, having to deal with that as well. And then at the end, finding out what kind of person she's become and kind of saying, okay, well, this is who I am and I'm going to go forward. And then book two, we actually get into how she learns to fence and the whole journey there. Book three will probably be the start of the big epic war between the two. Not sure yet. We'll see. But I love it. It's been growing inside me for like 20 years now. So getting on the page is awesome. Book one is done. It's in rewrites now. I should have it. Couple more beta readers and it'll be out. I'll put that up on Amazon.
Oh, that's
Maybe.
awesome.
By the time this interview's out, it should be up.
Well, I guess I'll add another book for me, David.
It's going to be a good one.
That sounds
I'm
amazing.
really proud of it.
I'm proud of you for putting fencing into everything. I'm totally okay with that. That's
Sword fighting is
definitely
life, man. Sword fighting is
right.
life.
If you can't do it, why write? Like that's my thing. But that sounds really cool. I just want to make sure we talked about that one because I hadn't seen that one at first, and then I can't remember who sent it to me. Like, this seems like your thing. I'm like, that is my thing. And I was like, oh, this is David. So I just want to make sure that we got that one in there for our audience beforehand. But those all sound amazing. So I guess that my TBR for 2025, it grows, right? It lives, that kind of
I'll
thing.
try
But
to
that's
load it
totally
up for
fine.
you.
Yeah, exactly. But that's absolutely amazing. I just want to make sure, because we're wrapping up on time, that we get to that last question. But before we get there, I am curious because you got a lot of stuff. That sounds amazing. And you have a lot coming out. So what is one thing you're the most proud about in terms of your writing so far and why?
I have to say that the conclusion of writing that trilogy in a year and wrapping it up and
Crazy.
It's one thing when you're writing to think about what you're writing, but then when you look at it as a complete and finished project, oh, that's incredible. Like, there's a lot of things I feel like I grew as a writer through the entire process, and I'm kind of like, oh, I could have written that better, I could have written that better. So some part of me is always going to be a little critical, but at the same time, holy crap, I did it. I finished it.
Yeah.
That's no, that feeling I hope never goes away, and I can't see it ever going away, but. It's a
Yeah.
rush. I'm that deeply proud of myself for having finished that. That's like getting your black belt. Like that
Yeah.
whole project was like that was all my training, and I got my black belt, and now that I finished it, now I can get on to the real deep, heavy training. But you can't do that until you do that essential thing.
Yep.
So super proud of myself for that. Gosh,
No,
that's
yeah,
good. That's
that's
super good.
I think, but again, congrats. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Thanks.
That's always funny. I do agree with you because then I have kids all the time because I got two black belts in Taekwondo. I'm like getting
Nice.
pretty close. They got two belts, two brown belts left for my style, Washer New Karate. And then I got
Oh,
other
yeah.
things that they're always like, why do you do this? I'm like, I love the process,
Why
man. I'm
wouldn't
like,
you do
yeah,
it?
I'm like, yeah, first of all, like, why not? Right? Like, well, but do you really need like eight black belts? I'm like, first of all, Chuck Norris has like 25. I go, so I need at least like half of that. I've always wanted to be
Exactly.
Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe, and I still do as an adult, So
Snake
I'm
the
like,
skin
it's
for
just,
me.
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I just think it's like, why not? So I do agree that I think that, it is like, it's like attaining each trilogy. My friend and I were talking the other day, like, it's like you attain a new black belt. And he's like, I just never get over it. So I do agree. That's what he says. Like, I think he's on like third, fourth trilogy now, working on.
Nice.
So yeah, he's like, never gets old. So I
Definite
agree with you. I hope
goals.
that. Yeah, I know, right? Yep. That's why I go for next year, like 2026. I'll have all three of my prequel novellas out, and then like probably most likely
Sweet.
like book one. Yeah. So I'm like, my friend's like, you've done a lot of work for these. I'm like, they might end up being
That's a
prequel
lot of work.
novels, but yeah, I'm like, they're getting a little longer now, which I think is totally fine. But now I have the full
Beautiful.
story for book one, which book one's gonna be a lot better now, So yeah, I'm like really excited to like I had this great idea that I'm not going to say on air yet, but I could text it to you later. But it was
Please
what,
do.
like a thing happened, you know, and then other things happened. I was like, oh, this is so much better. So I was like really excited,
Oh, that
but
process
I
never
agree with
stops. I love
you.
it.
I agree though. Like having that trilogy done, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous of David right now. So hopefully next time we talk, before 2026,
Hopefully,
I'll
I've
be reaching
got, yeah,
that.
hit that pattern. I got to keep going. That's the fun part.
That's the crazy thing, right? Yeah, you're like you're done, and then you're like, oh, now I got to keep going, get to the next trilogy, get that same feeling. But that's awesome. So we'll wrap up with that last question there for you, David. Which I know if people if they just got here, we talked about quite a few. We talked really a lot of series and books for David already. So if you are just tuning in, please make sure that you guys save this one, go back and check these things out. It had some great stuff and great books. Make sure you guys, get all of them in this interview. But David, do you have any news, updates, any other current projects, anything like that that you can share with us so far this year?
Yeah, my current project is the working title is Daemon, which is the cyberpunk prequel to the Salish Rift series. They're currently a third of the way through, and it's really exploding into a great little story. That should be out probably mid-year, maybe,
Oh, cool.
depending on editing. I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see. First book in the Salish Rift should be coming out as soon as I gather enough courage and finish the edits. So might be a couple of months. We'll see. My wife's leaning on me on that. But those are the big ones, Salish Rift and Daemon, whatever I wind up calling it. So that'll be
Awesome.
that's the big things for 2025 for me. And then probably second book, Anubis War, when it gets back from the editor. Maybe that might be coming out in a couple of months too. Wow, that's a lot. Go
I was
me.
just saying.
Huh. I guess I can stop feeling lazy, you know?
I call it indie syndrome, man. Like I had somebody on here, they're like, I counted audiobook for them, two
Oh, audiobooks.
novellas,
I gotta get
two
that going too.
books.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you forget, right, that that's also a whole nother thing, like
Oh, yeah.
product.
Yep, I've got
Yeah,
a bit
totally
of a
funny.
recording studio set up, so I'll be starting an
Oh,
audiobook
that's awesome.
soon.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Gotta schedule that.
Well, that's awesome. I just want to remind our audience, please make sure you can go right down to the description right below us, anywhere where you're listening or watching this podcast, to find David's book and social links. They'll be right there for you. So in case you did miss something or you're too lazy to go back and watch and listen in the middle part, if you missed it, you can just go there. Again, that's going to be our main focus, is trying to make sure people are going and checking out those book and social links for our authors and creatives. Please also make sure our second thing we're always focused on is to review the products. That's all I do. I make sure on Audible, Amazon, Goodreads, I've reviewed products. And there's a couple other places where we've had creatives for comics and things, the TikTok shop, all those things. So anywhere, where you guys are finding our creatives or authors, in terms of their products, please make sure you guys are doing that for the reviews. It also helps everybody else in the process in terms of editors, cover designers, voice actors, all the people that we talked about and talked to the last couple of years. So please make sure you guys are doing that. That just helps everybody out in general. But David, this has been absolutely awesome. I really look forward to,
Thanks.
chatting in the future. I talked with Davin with Jason and trying to get you guys all on together at some point soon. And
Oh,
anybody
that's
else that
fun when that
wants to join
happens.
us? Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm really excited to try and get that going here really soon. But if there's anything else I can do in the meantime for you, my friend, just let me know. I'll have to sneak one of your books in on my 2025. So it's a good thing I didn't do my video yet. I'm recording this weekend. So I'll be sending that to everybody at the company, and you guys can go ahead and share that. But if there's anything else I can do, just let me know. But other than that, good luck, happy writing, and I look forward to reading your books, my friend.
Oh, fantastic. Hope you enjoy them. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been an
Anytime, anytime.
absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, David, I hope you have a great rest of the day. And like I said, if you need anything, just let me know. But other than that, I'll see you later and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Take care, man. Have a good one.
You too. See you later.